definitely made Klaus nervous this morning. And really, Daryl, I don't think we need a sermon. He just gave us a great sermon based on the Word of God and exhortations to our hearts and souls. So I'm going to start off by saying, if you have a little thing in your ear and you're listening to the Phillies and the Padres, don't make any sudden movements. Don't give me any clues about what's happening. I'm watching the game when I get home, okay? Don't check the score on your phone and tell me what it is. All right, we're clear on that. And you just should be glad that the Dodgers aren't in the playoffs anymore. Because if the World Series had come down to the Dodgers and the Mariners, I would have been a very unpopular person around here. I grew up in Southern California. So, my wife loves to garden. She loves the process of cultivating the soil and nurturing the plants and pruning and even weeding. She loves it. And it's not uncommon for her to spend 12 hours a day in the garden. In fact, one day I went to work. I came home from work, and she had cleared the sod out of a 12-foot circle in our backyard and had prepared it to get some gravel so that we could have a sitting area back there. She already had the picture of the bistro table in the middle, and then she, if that wasn't enough, she took the sod and she relocated it to a few different places in the yard that needed a little bit of shoring up. We have a gardener here who's nodding, yes, okay. When we moved into our house, the backyard consisted of a deck and some mossy substance that vaguely resembled grass. And she transformed it to an English garden. There are gravel pathways that go through the backyard. There's no more grass. The pathways are lined with this voluptuous garden of things that I won't even try to name because it would just show my ignorance. But she knows what all of them are, and she gets these plants and she divides them every year and plants them in different places, and one plant becomes four plants and then they grow up. I don't know anything about this, but Carla loves it. She completely re-landscaped the last church we were in with an eye for beauty and low maintenance. She's one of the hardest workers I know. And that was all until 5 years ago, when Carla was diagnosed with fibromyalgia and myalgic encephalomyelitis. And her life is completely different now, as is mine. Some of her symptoms that she puts up with the ME is what they call it, the mitochondria in the cell has a low reserve capacity for energy production. So you and I sleep at night, we get up in the morning, we're refreshed. That doesn't happen for somebody who has ME. Extreme fatigue, sensitivity to light and sound, general commotion, headaches, nausea, unrefreshing sleep, post-exertion malaise, which is another word for a crash if she overdoes it, which she does on a regular basis because she's Carla, she pays the price for the next couple of days. Just can't do anything. Her fibromyalgia was diagnosed a year later, and that gives her pain and numbness and tingling at a variety of places of her body. She has problems with memory and concentration and focus. She has pain in her jaw, TMJ. So, life for Dave and Carla is different than it used to be. And as I tell you this, Carla would be the first one to say, that's nothing compared to the difficulties that other people go through. And we've watched people battle with cancer, and Carla sat at her mother's bed and watched her mother die of a brain tumor. Carla ran upstairs to find her dad having a heart attack, and her dad died in her arms. She knows suffering, and she knows that hers is mild compared to many of your. And if we had a time where we just said, okay, tell us your stories here of affliction and adversity, you'd have some big ones. Daryl just told us one. So this morning, what we want to see is how God uses adversity to help us work on our hearts. Turn with me, if you would, to Psalm 119. So let me review a little bit as you're turning. Some of you weren't here the last time I was here. The last time we were together, we saw that my primary focus in spiritual growth should be the continual cleansing of my heart. Guard your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. Everything that I am on the outside comes from something that's on the inside. And so that's our primary focus. For as a man thinks in his heart, so he is in his behavior. And we looked at how Jesus talked to the Pharisees, and he said, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you clean the outside of the cup and of the dish, but inside they are full of robbery and indulgence." He said, first, clean the inside of the cup so that the outside may become clean also. So our primary job is to do heart work. So this morning, we're going to see how this process of adversity helps with heart work. We're going to see that to keep the heart means to allow God to open my heart for his refining work. Psalm 119, we're going to start out in verse 71. "It is good for me that I was afflicted, that I may learn your statutes." So the whole of Psalm 19 is a psalm about the Word of God, basically. It's divided into 22 sections based on the Hebrew alphabet. It's mnemonic. It's so that they could remember it. And this section here is going to tell us a little bit about affliction. "It is good for me that I was afflicted, that I may learn your statutes." The word afflicted there is a plural word. It means a whole lot of hurt has flowed into this psalmist's life. "It is good for me that I was afflicted over and over and over again. And the reason for that is I'm learning your statutes." To learn is to be taught by an expert, to goad, to prod. I don't know about you, but that's the way I learn sometimes. God goading me a little bit, prodding me, telling me where I need to go, what direction I need to go, what I need to stay away from. I don't get many invitations to speak at youth groups. I'm not sure why that is. Probably has something to do that I had with the fact that I haven't been cool for 50 years. And then I've got kind of a silvery tint to my hair and a thin spot right up on top. But on this particular Wednesday night, I was asked to go to the church as the pastor and meet with a youth group. The youth pastor was away. And it ended up that the time I spent with the youth that night was the most precise ministry I had all week. In fact, probably for a long time. You see, shortly after 2 p.m. that afternoon, three sisters were headed up Highway 99 in BC. They had a blowout. The Jeep rolled. and one of the sisters, 13 years old, was crushed and killed. A friend of theirs had been killed, and they had come to youth group looking for Steve. And they got me instead. But you know what? It wouldn't have mattered who was there. These teens were ready for heart work. The soil of their hearts had been cultivated to hear God's truth. They could have heard 100 lessons on God is sovereign, and evil has been allowed to come into the world, and sin and death is a part of our existence, and God uses it in order to create good in our lives. And they probably had heard 100 lessons on that. But this particular Wednesday, they came ready to hear some truth that applied to their life. Affliction loosens the soil of our hearts. It cultivates our hearts so that we're ready to hear truth that God has for us. Remember when I was pastoring in Lloydminster, Alberta. It was my first pastorate. I was associate pastor, and there was an older fellow there who was the humblest, most gentle, unassuming man you could imagine. His wife was blind, so he was in his 70s already. He was retired, and his ministry was taking care of his wife. And he liked to fish, and he knew I liked to fish, so he'd take me fishing. And we'd sit in the boat, and I'd ask him questions about his life. I heard some incredible stories. One of the things that we talked about was his career. I said, what did you do all your life? He said, I was a farmer. But he said, I was a farmer back in the days before pesticides and fertilizers. And he said, we had three jobs. He said, I'd get on the tractor, and I would cultivate the soil, and as the soil was broken up, the seed would fall into the soil. And he said, when we were all done, I'd park the tractor, I'd jump off, and I'd come around to the back of the tractor, and I'd get on my knees, and I would ask God to bless what I just did by sending the rains and keeping the frost away at harvest, and everything. The first thing he had to do was cultivate the soil. If he'd have just thrown the seed out onto the ground, he wouldn't have gotten a crop. So this business of cultivating the soil is an incredibly essential part of doing heart work. And sometimes we think, well, during the hard times, God's not working on my heart. I'm just trying to survive. God is working on your heart, especially during the hard times. So the first thing that we see is that affliction can cultivate a learning posture in the heart. Second thing we're going to see is that it also produces obedience in the heart. Look at verse 67. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. Now I keep your word. So it's not just cultivating the soil for the seeds of God's truth, but affliction can actually be the fertilizer that produces the crop of growth in your life. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. Now I keep your word. This word for afflicted is a singular word. He's thinking specifics now. Before that happened, I used to go astray. But now that that's happened, I keep your word. I don't know about you, but that's encouraging for me to know that each affliction that comes into my life can produce something good by way of my obedience. That it's not just to be endured. It's to be nurtured, The growth happens as the soil of my heart is loosened and as I allow God to plant the seeds of his truth in my heart. You've heard the verses before. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the trial produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result, that you might be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. It started with the trial, and the process worked its way through so that we're being perfected. And you look through Scripture, you see it everywhere. It's not an old truth or a new truth. It's an old truth. Here's one that I really appreciate. Verse 75. I know, O Lord, that your judgments are righteous, and that in faithfulness you have afflicted me. This is beautiful. It's God being faithful, this thing we call affliction. Oftentimes we say, oh, you know, I had lost my job, but God gave me a new job. Isn't he faithful? Or I was sick and God's healing me. Isn't he faithful? You had a difficult relationship and God's healed that relationship. Isn't he faithful? But you know what? The losing of the job is also an evidence of God's faithfulness, because he's afflicting me so that I can grow. He knows that it's going to benefit me. He has my best interest in heart. He's faithful. So in faithfulness, he afflicts me. If I'm sick, it's his faithfulness. If I've got difficulty in a relationship, it's a part of his faithfulness to help teach me through that difficulty. Affliction can produce obedience. In 2021, my son Jeremy completed a 13-year prison sentence. He went astray, left home, came down to the U.S. We were in Canada at the time. And he pursued a life of crime. He deserved every second of that 13-year sentence and maybe more. And he knows that. But guess what happened? As soon as he got put in prison, and there's no way out, God started working in his heart. He came back to the Lord. I've got a stack of written letters that were written from solitary confinement about how God's working in his heart and life and how the Word of God is just coming alive for him. Dad, I'm coming through the Bible the third time. I'm seeing something different every time. He just grew and grew and grew. He's out now. He's living in Southern California. He has a job. He is staying away from all of the stuff that he was into before. And he's walking with God. He's stumbling as he goes, for sure, but he's walking with God. It's in God's faithfulness that he afflicts us to help us. And I have to tell you, as sorry as I am that Jeremy had to spend 13 years in prison, I'm happy for it. Because it brought him back to God. It changed his life. It's giving him a new chance. Had he not been caught and convicted, who knows where he would be today? Because the adversity that he needed wouldn't have been there. And in this case, it was affliction in the form of discipline. So, you'll notice that we're rephrasing these things as possibilities. Affliction can loosen the soil of our heart. Affliction can produce obedience. But the critical ingredient is my response to the affliction. What do I do with it when it comes? How do I react to it? What is the posture of my heart? Do I moan and complain? Or will I submit and learn? Will I look at my heart and my concept of God and my posture before Him? Or will I point the finger of blame? Affection can cultivate a learning posture in the heart. The result of affection can be obedience to God's word. And picture it like this. Heat melts wax, but it also hardens steel. It really depends on the material of your heart, doesn't it? Are you going to be soft enough that God's affliction melts you, or are you going to be hard enough that His affliction just hardens you even more? I can think of two people that I know who experienced loss in their lives. One is a man whose spouse died when he was in his 70s. It served to make him more angry and bitter. He complains incessantly that he doesn't have a wife. I'm not sure who he's complaining to. Must be God, because God's the one who took her home. And he's chosen not to be happy for the rest of his life. He simply said, I can't be happy unless I have a wife. So I am going to be miserable for the rest of my life. And he is miserable. He's miserable to be around. He's chosen to allow the heat of affliction to harden him like steel. And then there's Pete and Laura Lee. I stood with Pete and Laura Lee beside a grave and helped them bury baby Samuel. He was 29 days old. And the grief for them was overwhelming. A year later, I stood with them again, and we buried baby Spencer. He was 35 days old. It's unspeakable hurt. For the next year, I spent every week, I spent an evening with Pete and Laura Lee, sitting in their living room on the floor around their coffee table with classical music playing in the background, because Laura Lee always had to have music playing in the background, and I listened to them do heart work. It was messy. There's a lot of emotions around that. There's a lot of questions. Why God would allow this to happen? But as they worked through it, because the soil of their heart was soft and the affliction was melting their hearts like wax, God was working in their hearts and lives in huge ways. And they're better for it today. Our response to affliction is the critical ingredient. So, let me ask you, do you have some affliction in your life? I'm guessing. It can be affliction at every stage of life. You could be getting older and you're having health issues. You could have a job that just has a boss that just is unreasonable. You could be a teenager and you're trying to get your parents to understand and they just don't seem to want to understand. You could be a parent with a teenager trying to get through them, and they just can't hear you. Trials come in a whole variety of forms. So my question to you is, what is your heart made of? Is God softening you and teaching you? Or is it hardening you and pressing you away from Him? Well, this group of teens that had lost their friend, they started down a long, hard road of dealing with grief and loss. They started pulling together truth from God's word and matching it to their heart responses. So they said, I'm hurting. Right. God's strength helps me. I'm confused. I don't understand. God's wisdom. God causing things to work together for good in ways that we don't understand. I feel alone. She was my best friend. God can be your best friend. And I watched as truth seeped into their hearts. And I've watched with my dear wife, Carla, as truth has seeped into her heart and my heart. She is, more than anyone I know, an example of someone who allows adversity to soften her heart and she grows from it. She becomes more compassionate every day of other people who are suffering. Her niece had her wisdom teeth taken out this week. And I'm sorry to tell you, I didn't think much of it. She's having her wisdom teeth taken out. She can't afford to be put under, so they're going to do a local anesthetic. And I was so focused on telling Carla about my experience having my wisdom teeth taken out. All four wisdom teeth were impacted. They had to section the teeth, and the guy had his foot on the chair yanking and trying to pull the tooth out. I was so focused on telling her my experience that I didn't even think about poor Kiana and what she was going to have to go through. And Carla kept bringing it up, and I finally clued in and realized, wait a minute, I need to have a little compassion for this girl. That's my wife. And it's because of the affliction that she's gone through and is going through that she has this compassion for other people. Most important thing in my life is to continually attend to the cleansing of my heart, because everything in life flows from my heart. And when God sends adversity to me, He's giving me an opportunity to have the soil of my heart loosened so that He can plant the seeds of His word and we can see the growth of obedience in my life. Let's pray together. You know, there's a couple of different kinds of affliction that happen. Sometimes affliction comes completely undeserved. For those of you who were in that space, the scripture says, therefore, we do not lose heart. But though our outer person is decaying, yet our inner person is being renewed day by day. For our momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. It says, hang in there. Because in light of eternity, this is a good thing. And sometimes adversity comes in the form of God's discipline, as with Jeremy. And to those, He says, therefore, strengthen the hands that are weak and the knees that are feeble, and make straight paths for your feet, so that the limb which is lame may not be dislocated, but rather be healed. God's gracious hand of discipline will bring adversity to get our attention and bring us back to Him. Lord, you know every person in this room this morning. You know the secret struggles that they have. You know the adversity that they won't talk about. I pray that you would soften hearts. I pray that you would encourage us. Even as the church has gone through some difficulties in the recent history, I pray that you would help us to see that those difficulties will produce good things in our hearts if we choose forgiveness over bitterness. If we choose to see the value of growth for the body in the future, I pray that you would help us to apply this to our lives in every way. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.